I look up to the mountains. Does my strength come from the mountains? No. My strength comes from God, who made heaven and earth and the mountains.
Desperation, when all we know is doubt and fear, there is only one foundation. We believe in this broken generation. When all is dark, you help us see. There is only one salvation. We believe. We believe. We believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit, and He's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that He conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, and He's coming back again.
Good morning. Good to have you with us online at the victorybaptistchurch.org live webcast. Not truly live. We record it early, assemble it, but we launch it live on Sunday morning. Glad that you're worshiping with us this morning. Let's open up with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, I do pray that you be with us as we go into your scriptures, as we enjoy the special music this morning and Brother John leading us with Hannah and Sandra Joe. I pray that you would be with them as they do music. And I just pray for your guidance, your direction. Help us, Lord, this morning to honor you in all things. Please give us as a church wisdom. Help us to know exactly what you have for us as a church each step of the way. But this morning, we're looking for you to minister to our hearts, our church family, both near and far. In Christ's name we pray, amen. At this time, I'm going to read to you my text that I'm going to be preaching in a little bit. It's in Mark chapter 5, verses 1 down through 20. Very familiar text if you read your New Testament, especially if you read the Gospels. As soon as I start, you'll remember this. So I'm going to read it to you, verses 1 through 20. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs. And no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had often been bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice, and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee, by God, that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he should not send them away out of the country. Now there was there, nigh unto the mountains, a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out, entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they came to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion, sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed, and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel.
Good morning. Let's lift up our voices together as we sing All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name.
All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. He chose seed of Israel's race, he ransomed from the fall. Hail him who saves you by his grace, and crown him Lord of all. Hail him who saves you by his grace, and crown him Lord of all. Let every kindred, every tribe on this terrestrial ball, to him all majesty ascribe and crown him Lord of all. To him all majesty ascribe and crown him Lord of all. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul. I'll worship your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Oh, my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. I'll worship your holy name. You're rich in love and you're slow to anger. Your name is great and your heart is kind. For all your goodness I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Oh, my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. I'll worship your holy name. And on that day when my strength is failing, the end draws near and my time time has come. Still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. I'll worship your holy name. I'll worship your holy name. Lord, I'll worship your holy name.
Thank you very much. That was great music. I enjoyed that so much. We've decided to just kind of boost it up a little bit. Sandra Jo was able to come in and play the piano and stay far enough away so that John and Hannah could come over here and play the guitar and sing together. It's a blessing to have people work together to minister to us as a church family. I do have just a couple quick announcements. I want to remind you that at 8 o'clock in the morning, basically, we launch our electronic bulletin to everybody that we have an email address for. So I encourage you to go ahead and look at that. In that are announcements and prayer requests, a note from me, some inspirational things posted on there. So I'd encourage you to go to that bulletin. But I did want to remind the church officers, deacons, trustees that we're going to meet this afternoon after services at 1 o'clock. So we're going to meet right in here in the sanctuary where you can spread out far enough that everybody has plenty of space. And we're going to go over several different things. So pray for your church officers, pray for your pastor, that we seek and know the Lord's will in each step we take as we move forward as a church. And then, as many of you know from the Wednesday night service, Brother Terry Phillips' mom passed away. So please be in prayer for his family. And we have had some calls asking about the services. They're going to do just a private family viewing, and any kind of funeral wouldn't be until spring. So just pray for the family. That would be wonderful. Other than that, we're going to turn it right back over to our team who's doing music, leading us and guiding us and helping us to worship the Lord in song.
Welcome back. Let's continue in singing this morning. Shine, Jesus, shine. O 4,000 tongues, and then O praise the name.
Lord, the light of your love is shining in the midst of the darkness, shining. Jesus, light of the world, shine upon us. Set us free by the truth you now bring us. Shine on me. Shine on me. Shine, Jesus, shine. Fill this land with the Father's glory. Blaze, Spirit, blaze. Set our hearts on fire. Flow, river, flow. Flood the nations with grace and mercy. Send forth your word, Lord, and let there be light. Lord, I come to your awesome presence. From the shadows into your radiance. By the blood I may enter your brightness. Search me, try me, consume all my darkness. Shine on me. Shine on me. Shine, Jesus, shine. Fill this land with the Father's glory. Blaze, Spirit, blaze. Set our hearts on fire. Flow, river, flow. Flood the nations with grace and mercy. Send forth your word, Lord, and let there be light. Oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of His grace. He breaks power of canceled sin. He sets the prisoners free. His blood can make the foulest clean. His blood availed for me. My gracious Master and my God, assist me to proclaim, to spread through all the earth abroad the honors of His name. I cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see His wounds, His hands, His feet, my Savior on that cursed tree. His body bound and drenched in tears, they laid Him down in Joseph's tomb. The entrance sealed by heavy stone. Messiah still at Golgotha. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise His name forevermore. For endless days we will sing Your praise. Your sting, the angels roar for Christ the King. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise His name forevermore. For endless days we will sing Your praise. Return in robes of white, the blazing sun shall pierce the night, and I will rise among the saints, my gaze transfixed on Jesus' face.
Thank you very much. And now we have Elizabeth Hollander, who's going to come and she's going to sing for us, I Belong to the King. We're so grateful that she came up and recorded several different special songs. Each one's a blessing. And then we've inserted them into Sunday morning services so that they can be used to honor the Lord and minister to you. So let's turn it right over to Elizabeth.
Children.
Thank you very much, Elizabeth. And at this time, we're going to go into our message. Title of my message this morning is Why Me? Why Now? And as we look in the text here in Mark chapter 5, as I read to you just a little bit ago, we find the Lord Jesus Christ going into the region of the Gadarenes. If you today were to go over to Israel and go to the Sea of Galilee, and you were to take one of the tour boats, they have boats that take you out on the Sea of Galilee. They do a long, big circle out there, and sometimes they'll talk about the different regions and areas along the sea. And I have personally been when they have talked about the region of the Gadarenes. So out on the boat that I was on, they pointed to the particular region across the Sea of Galilee, and they said, that is the region of the Gadarenes. It's a hilly, rising area that goes up. And so we find the Lord Jesus Christ over there, and there is a graveyard full of tombs. And in that graveyard, in that area of tombs, we find a man who's possessed with a legion of demons within him. And that man comes and he encounters Christ, and the demons call out to Christ and say to him, what have we to do with thee? And they charge Christ, they ask Christ, please do not cast us out and make us leave the region. And instead, the demons say, cast us into those swines upon the hill. And there the Bible tells us there were as many as 2,000 swine upon that hill. And you might be thinking to yourself, but I don't understand. This is a region, a biblical region, a land of the Jews, and they don't eat pigs. Well, yeah, but don't forget, the conquering people of that land then are the Romans. They are not Jewish people. They're from all the different Gentile nations. So for there to be somebody in the land of the Gadarenes, in the region of the Gadarenes, with a herd of 2,000 pigs, that's a lot of pigs, isn't it? Talk to John Brace about raising pigs. Can you imagine 2,000 pigs? But there were legions of soldiers. There were people who were not Jews who would want to partake in that. So they had large herds. We see these pigs upon the hillside, it tells us. And then, of course, we know that the demons are cast into those pigs. So the title of the message this morning, Why Me? Why Now? There are things that happen in all of our lives, just as is getting ready to happen in this text to those people's lives, things that you never expect, you never see coming, and you think to yourself, what happened? Why me? Why now? I was just talking to somebody this week about the value of gold. They invest in gold. I don't invest in gold, but they do. And they were talking to me about how high gold had gone just a little while ago. It was all the way up over 2,000 an ounce. But last August, it was only a little over $1,700 an ounce. But it has already fallen back down to somewhere, I think it's around $1,800 an ounce. So what if you invested all your money in gold when it was at $1,800 an ounce? Or no, it was over $2,000 an ounce. I'm sorry. The high was over $2,000 an ounce. Well, what if it falls back down to $1,700? And you've lost all that you, not lost all, but you've lost all your profit, lost some of your gain. Why me? Why now? Josh, my son, was texting me about Bitcoin because he's interested in those kind of things. And I always have a little bit of interest, but Bitcoin right now, to buy one Bitcoin, $55,000. Can you imagine? Now, not too long ago, it was $17,000. And he told me when it started out, it was around $5. Can you imagine? Can you imagine if Brother John had gone ahead and just at a lark, he'd thought, well, I think I'm going to buy $500 worth of $5 a piece Bitcoin. And it went up to $55,000 a Bitcoin. Wow. Would he still be working for us or would he be retired? Who knows? Of course, it wouldn't be that much gain. But what happens when it drops back? You know, because I said to my son, Josh, I said, well, Josh, you know, it's so volatile. What happens if you buy it at 55,000 and it drops back down to 17,000? And of course, he's not buying big numbers of any of it. But if that happened, because he told me, he says, well, that could happen because it is such a volatile thing. If that did happen and somebody had put so much in and lost so much, they would say, why me? Why now? Same thing with our health or our jobs or our family or our situations in life. Things happen that we never anticipate. So when we look at this text, we learn some things. We learn some things that help us to understand life. Why me? Why now? The first one I want you to see is because there are evil forces at work all around us. You and I are in a spiritual warfare. The Bible teaches us, you know, we have all the things of the Lord. We have the angels. We have our Lord. We have the presence of the Holy Spirit in our hearts and our lives. You have you and I studying the Word of God, striving to live for God. But on the flip side of that is the devil and his demonic forces and all his people who reject God and all the things of God. We are in a spiritual warfare. So you see in this text, those 20 verses I read to you a little bit ago, you find a spiritual warfare taking place. And the first thing I want you to see as far as why me, why now? Because there are evil forces at work. Look with me down, if you would, at verse 11 in our text of Mark chapter 5, verse 11. Listen to what these verses have to say. Now there was there, nigh unto the mountains, a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought Christ, saying, send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. So you find these demonic forces calling out to Jesus and saying to Jesus, this is what we would like to have happen. It's actually a little bit reminiscent, if you'll remember back in your Old Testament to the book of Job, do you remember that the Bible tells us that Satan came before God and said, hey, look at your servant Job. And he made accusation against Job. And he said to God, if you were to do this or this, he would deny you. Well, all the time around us, we have the accuser. Book of Revelation talks about Satan, that dragon, who is our accuser. Just as we see here, you see these demons who have possessed this man. And now they're saying, cast us into those pigs. We find this spiritual warfare taking place where these evil forces are crying out to do harm. If you remember back where the Lord Jesus Christ was talking to Peter, and he said to Peter, he said, Satan desires to take you and sift you as wheat. Well, you know what? Satan had apparently come before the Lord and said, hey, look at your servant Peter. If you let me tear his life apart, he'll deny you. Jesus warned Peter, Satan desires to tear your life apart. And in each of our lives, there is that evil force at work. There is that force that desires to do us harm. Now, when we look at this verse, we also see that the swine were pretty close to that area where that demon was possessing that man, that legion of demons was possessing the man of the Gadarenes. And it kind of gives us an opportunity to step back and think, sometimes you want to make sure where you are and when you're there. Because you don't want to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. These pigs were at the wrong place at the wrong time, weren't they? Their herdsmen had brought them to the wrong place at the wrong time. In each of our lives, you and I as Christians, we have to be wise about where we are and when we're there, the things we're involved in our lives. And certainly at this time, we see a great illustration of them being in the wrong place. It's kind of like Lot. You go back into the Old Testament and you find Abraham and his nephew Lot. Lot chose to go to the city. he chose to go to Sodom and Gomorrah. And there he found himself in the midst of evil. He found some of his children married into those families and would not follow Lot as he left the city before the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. You see, he got too close in the wrong place at the wrong time. Each of us needs to think about that, pray about that, seek the Lord that we might be at the right place at the right time in our lives. So, why me? Why then? When we look at that, we understand it's because there are genuine evil forces who desire to do us harm, and we don't want to be at the wrong place at the wrong time to give them that opportunity. The second one I want you to see is because what you think is yours sometimes really isn't. You see, you and I in our lives, what we have really belongs to the Lord. You and I are bought by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, bought with that price. We are his servants. We yield to him. We say, not my will, Lord, but thine. And when we look at this text here, we're reminded that sometimes folks feel like everything is theirs. These herdsmen certainly thought these swine were theirs. Well, in reality, God has control over all of those things. We need to entrust all things to him, whether they remain with us or whether they go. So look with me, if you would, at verse 13. I want you to listen to this verse. And forthwith, Jesus gave them leave. So the demons that were in the maniac of Gadara, he had a legion of demons in him, and Christ gives them leave. He casts them out. And the unclean spirits went out, entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the Sea of Galilee. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. You see, when we look at what transpired here, those herdsmen could not stop what happened, could they? They couldn't go ahead and stop 2,000 pigs from running down to the sea. It had gone out of their control because, in all honesty, most things in our lives, we have to trust to the Lord. What we think we can control, we often cannot control. I remember when I was a teenager, my dad had a World War II Willys Jeep. He owned a few of them when I was growing up and then when I went off to college. But when I was in high school, he had a World War II Willys Jeep, and I used to drive it. Had a convertible top, and the lock-in four-wheel drive, you had to manually lock in. It's not like the modern ones where you push a button or turn a knob inside while you're nice and warm and cozy. No, you had to go out and lock them in and out. Well, I had gone to visit a friend in that Jeep, and when I went to pull out, it was snowing, it was icing, the road was icy. I clicked those four-wheel drives in, got in that little Jeep, such a light, nimble vehicle, pulled out on the road and started heading down. Well, I broke traction, and that four-wheel drive just spun right in the middle of the road. And I thought I was going to get killed. There was a truck coming. I thought I was going to die. But just at the right time, it caught traction and shot me up off of the road. I thought, because I had four-wheel drive, I thought because I'm in this Jeep, it could do anything. I was fine. I totally was not fine. There's many things in our lives that we think we have full control of, but we don't. And these herdsmen, they had these 2,000 swine. They had them grazing out upon this hillside. And even today, when you go to the land of the Gadarenes, it's a rolling hillside that rises up. They thought it was completely under control. But what we think is ours oftentimes is not. Even our children are only loaned to us for the years that we can raise them. And then they launch off on their own. And we may think to ourselves that we have it all under control, but we don't. We have to learn to entrust those things to the Lord. And whether he gives or takes away, we have to learn to trust to him. You know, the Bible tells us we came into this world with nothing, And believe it or not, we're going to go out of this world with nothing. So we have to learn to entrust to Him all that we have. And when we look at this text, we learn a lesson to step back and understand that no matter what it is, whether it's swine or a job or our children or whatever it is, our health, every day that we have it and we can enjoy it as a blessing, we thank the Lord. But in His time, according to His will, things can change. And we have to step back, even as the Lord Jesus Christ did in the Garden of Gethsemane. And He said, "Not my will, Lord, but thine." Because it all belongs to God. When we look at this text a little bit farther, I want you to look with me at verses 14 down through 17. And I want you to see another reason that things happen. Why me? Why now? Sometimes God looks deep in our heart and He sees that it's the right time for us to deal with whatever it is that we're dealing with. Look at what takes place in verses 14 down through 17 in our text. "And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they came to Jesus and see Him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in His right mind. And they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray Him to depart out of their coasts." Now, don't you well imagine that for one thing, we already know that the Lord can see what we cannot see. He can see the very depths and intents of our heart. God knows all and sees and understands all about us and around us. So here, don't you well imagine our Lord Jesus Christ? He's looking into the hearts and minds of these people who in just a little bit, instead of rejoicing and celebrating that this man who was demon-possessed by a legion of demons, instead of being rejoicing and celebrating and happy for this man, they're going to tell Jesus to get out of the region. God looks into people's hearts, and He sees where we are, what's going on in our lives. He saw this man who was possessed by all these demons in the land of the Gadarenes. He saw that he was living in this cemetery full of tombs. He saw that the people in the community, they could not come and take a time of meditation at the tomb of their relatives because they couldn't. There was a maniac there who could not be constrained with chains and fetters. It had been tried many times and they had just given up. People would be afraid to go to their child's grave or to their parents' grave and to just take a time of meditation. God looked into those people's hearts and He thought to Himself, it's time to make a change here. It's time to make a shift. It's time to have an event happen that would change the perspective, the situation, the environment that these people were living in. Certainly, as we look at the maniac himself, possessed by all of these demons, it was time for him, wasn't it? Could you imagine if that was your child, if that was your neighbor, if that was your friend, wouldn't you be praying, God, please set him free? You'd want the Lord to hear your prayers. You'd want the Lord to see his suffering. And that's what happened here. As God looked into the heart of the people there that day. And even the owners of the swine. God looked down and He saw these people who they cared more about their possession, their wealth, their pigs, than they cared about this poor man who was possessed by a legion of demons. They didn't rejoice for him. They told Jesus to get out. God sees that sometimes we become so self-centered, so materialistic, that we don't even care about anybody around us. God saw that it was time for there to be an event. An event that would change the life of this man possessed by the demons. An event that would change the perspective of these folks who own 2,000 swine. An event that would change the environment, the community of these people who live there. And God intervened. Now, you and I might step back and we might say to ourselves, well, why? Why them? Why then? Only God knows. We have the text to tell us some part, but we don't know. You know, the Bible tells us, who knows the mind of God? Who can question the intents of God? And in each of our lives, we have to step back and say, I have to just trust and believe. I have to rest in Him. And I have to know that this life I live is but a tink in time compared to eternity. I watched the news the other day, and I saw that they landed a special kind of rover up there on Mars. And as I was reading it and reading about how they're going to do this research, they're going to get these samples and they're putting them in these little tubes and they're going to save those. And then another vehicle is going to get those and bring them back to the United States or back to NASA. But I looked at it and it's a long time away before they anticipate these coming back. I thought maybe this was going to happen like in the next 6 months. Oh, this is years away before these things are going to come back and they're going to research these and investigate all this. You know, it's interesting how sometimes things happen and they play out over time. And in each of our lives, we're willing to wait for samples from Mars for years and years and years and years. But sometimes in our life, we want it right now. We have become such a have it your way society. We want to pull up to that window and we want it our way and we want it now. Well, sometimes we have to just believe God. We say, Lord, I don't understand. And maybe I won't understand why me, why now, until I get to heaven. And I kind of always look at that like, will I really care? Will it be that big a deal to me? You know, probably not. The things that are a big deal to us here, when we get there, we'll think, what's it matter? As we come back into our text of Mark chapter 5, I want you to look down with me, if you would, at verse 15. Verse 15 says, and they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Maybe why me, why now is simply to make a difference. And only God knows why something in our lives at any given time would really make a difference. But God does know. And certainly when we look at verse 15 right there, that really made a difference. Listen again to the verse. And they came to Jesus, and they saw him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion, sitting and clothed and in his right mind. That made a difference in that man's life. In fact, when you come back down, look with me if you would, as we approach verse 20. It tells us, and the man who'd been healed, he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. God saw that it was the right time. These were the right people to have this event happen to bring glory to him. Now, certainly when all those 2,000 pigs were charging down the hillside and we see them all go into the Sea of Galilee, we see them all choking and gasping and then we see them dying. I mean, wow, what mayhem. Can you imagine? Nobody at that moment thought to themselves, something good's going to come out of that. But as you look at it, as you look back and you see the man who was possessed by those 2,000 demons, and we see the change in his life, then you see him go back to his friends. You know, it's interesting in the text, he asked Jesus, can I go with you? Would it be okay if I go with you? And Jesus said, no. Go back to your friends. Go back to your town. Go back and tell all that transpired here. You and I in our lives, there are things that transpire. We have no idea why, but God knows. And maybe he just needed to change one life. Is it worth 2,000 pigs for one life? Oh, absolutely. This man came to faith. Not only was his life changed, his eternity was changed. We'll one day see him in heaven. We'll see him in glory. If you'd have been there as a witness of all the mayhem, the chaos, the carnage, you'd have walked away and said, wow, what in the world? And certainly if you owned all the pigs, you'd be saying, why me? Why now? Who knows? But God knew. God knew there was one man who needed healing. Physically, emotionally, spiritually, he needed Christ. We see that it changed his life. We see that it brought a message of healing into his community. And you and I in our lives, we have to be willing to be used of the Lord. Maybe it costs us 2,000 pigs. But are we willing? Are we willing to say, Lord, you know what? It's all yours anyways. Whatever it is, it's yours anyways. Take it. Use it. Use it to touch a life, to change an eternity. Each and every one of us in our lives, we face things that we do not understand. We encounter things that baffle us. Why me, Lord, and why now? But we just have to say, not my will, but thine, Lord. And we have to rest in him. As we close our service this morning in prayer, before Sandra Jo comes on and does her message for the boys and girls, as we bow our heads and as we pray, I ask you, have you come to Christ? Have you put your faith in him? There's nothing in this world worth hanging on to. So valuable that it's worth your soul. Let him have it all in your heart and soul. Say, Lord, I turn from my sins. I turn from all my possessions. I sin from all my I turn from my selfishness. And Lord, I turn to you in faith and I receive you into my heart and into my life. That God might heal you just as he healed that person. He went from a maniac, a demon-possessed man of the cemeteries and the Gadarenes, to dressed, to sane, to clothed, to walking, ministering, sharing. Christ can change your life. He can change mine. Most of all, he gives us heaven. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll be closed. Father in heaven, we come before you. And Lord, we thank you so very much that you do love us. That you do go through the deepest of valleys with us as well as on top of the mountaintops. Lord, certainly as we look at the maniac of the Gadarenes, as we look at his possession with a legion of demons, as we look at the events that transpired around him in order to free him, we see your hand at work. And in each of our lives, we may step back and say, why me, why now? But really what we need to say is, not my will, but thine. Thank you, Lord, for the way you do take care of us, the way you do watch over us, the valleys you do bring us through, the mountaintops you give us to enjoy. Thank you. And I pray that you help our faith to be strong. And we pray for those who don't know Christ, who would drive him out of their region if they could. I pray for them to come to faith, come to salvation, come to peace. And we pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Don't forget, as we're dismissed, Sandra Jo's getting ready to come on. I know she worked hard on her lesson, and I think she has some kind of a visual, maybe a craft, because she talked to me about that she was working on something like that. So stay tuned. She's got that coming right now.
Good morning to all of you. How are you? It's been a couple of weeks since we met, and I've been thinking about you. I was thinking about what we talked about last time I gave you a lesson. And if you remember, it was talking about how God knows your name. And I've been thinking about that. And I told you I would pray for you. And I have been praying for you. And so I was asking the Lord, what do you think I should teach the children this week? And I thought, not only does God know your name, but you are valuable, very valuable to God. So I was thinking about that, and there is a little story in the Bible, and it's about something of value. It's about a coin. Now, whenever my grandkids come, I have this little pile, I have a bucket of change, and they collect pennies. So they go through their little penny books and they look to find the right date and all of that. And so I thought, oh, we love coins. Well, the coin we're going to talk about today is a silver coin. I'm going to read you the story in a minute. But first of all, I want to do something before we begin, because this is going to relate to the end of our story. So I'm going to take a couple of pennies. Just, can you see those? Just regular pennies. And they're not very shiny. They're not bright and shiny. They're not new coins. But I'm going to put them in this little bowl. Then I'm going to put some vinegar in it. You can do this with your mommy or your daddy. So I'm covering it just a little bit with vinegar. Here we go. And now I'm going to sprinkle just a little bit of salt on it. I think I'm going to put a little bit more vinegar in there because mine is, oh no, it's in there. Okay, so I'm going to take this two coins with vinegar and a little bit of salt, and I'm going to set it right here until we get to the end of our story. Then we're going to talk about it. So in Luke chapter 15 in the Bible, and we know the Bible is God's word, Jesus is telling a story to the people. Now he's telling them a parable. Can you say parable? Parable. A parable is an earthly story, something that we understand, but Jesus is telling us the story to give us a heavenly meaning, something spiritual, something that God wants us to learn. So I thought, how about if we talk about the parable of the lost coin? In Luke chapter 15 and verse 8, it says, "What woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it? And when she's found it, she calls her friends and her neighbors together, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the silver piece which I had lost.'" Now, whenever we think about a silver piece, let's pull out a silver coin. Okay, there's a silver coin. A silver coin in the days when Jesus was on the earth, a silver coin was worth as much as you could earn in an entire day. So you see, when this woman lost the coin, it was not just a penny, it wasn't just a quarter, it was worth a lot of money. And she was so anxious to find it. She got her broom. It says she swept the house and she looked. Have you ever lost something and you start looking? And you stick your hand down on the sofa and you look behind the toy box and you start looking, looking, looking. And she was looking for her silver coin. It was very, very, very valuable. And then it says that when she found it, she called all of her friends and neighbors and said, "Rejoice with me. Be happy with me. Celebrate with me. I have found my lost coin." And you're thinking, well, what does that have to do with us? Well, I'm going to tell you. In the very next verse, it says, "Likewise," or just like that, Jesus says, "I say unto you," the people that he was talking to, "there is joy in the presence of the angels of God when one sinner repents," or when one person accepts Jesus as their Savior. Wow. The same celebration happens in heaven when one person receives Jesus as their Savior. Now, what do we do to have to do that? We have to know that we're a sinner. And we have to know that God sent his only son, Jesus, to die on the cross for our sins, and that he rose again the third day. And we believe that, and we say, "Lord, I accept your payment for my sins on the cross. Please forgive me and come into my heart and be my Savior." And do you know what happens? He does. We mean it with our whole heart, and he comes in and he saves us. Jesus begins to live in our heart and he brings us joy. It also says that he cleans our heart. He makes us a new person and our sins are gone. And we have to then confess our sins to Jesus to say, to keep our hearts clean and right before him. So, I was thinking about clean hearts and the coin story. And I want to tell you that when you put your little coin inside the salt and the vinegar, when you pull it out, look how shiny that is. It makes it shiny. It looks new, doesn't it? That's the same way Jesus cleans our heart. He makes us white as snow when we trust him and ask him to forgive us of our sins. So today, I want you to think about some things. You are very valuable to God. He's telling us this story so we know how valuable we are to him. And he tells us that he comes in, he can save our hearts, and when he does, we're clean. But not only does that happen, in heaven, the angels of God rejoice when someone trusts Jesus as their Savior. That's a pretty important lesson that came from one lost silver coin. So I was thinking today, what could we do that would be something that would remind you of the lost coin? So I think that we can rub coins. Do you know how to do that? I'll show you. You take a plain piece of paper, I have my Bible so we don't have an accident, and you take some coins. I've got all different kinds of coins here. Some pennies, some dimes, a quarter, a dollar gold coin. So you put them under your paper, and then you can take a colored pencil and you hold your little coin right there, and then you just color it. And as you color it, you will see the image that is on your coin start to come out. It's called a rubbing. You rub it over the top and you will start to see your coin. Okay? So, you can do it with your colored pencil. You can do it with your crayons. And you can even then make designs from it. like I did earlier. You see this? These are all of my coin rubbings. I did this coin rubbing out of pennies, and I did it in the shape of a cross to remind me how valuable I am. So valuable that Jesus died on the cross for my sins. And here's a sun I made and some balloons and a flower. So I want you to take some coins and rub them and make some pictures. Last time you sent me some amazing name pictures. So today I want you to do some coin rubbings and send me your pictures. Send me your pictures by email or text, and it will make me remember our time together, and I will be praying for each and every one of you. I love you so much. Hopefully we'll be together soon, but don't forget, you are so valuable to God that He sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross for your sins. Mwah! I love you. Bye-bye.